A little after 8 now. It's 8:01. WMFO in Medford. This is Now Rising with Sky Bar. And you just heard Screaming Females with Desert Train. I just saw the Screaming Females at Brighton Music Hall. It was a fantastic show. I've seen them a few times now. I'm just trying to find my playlist here, so that's why I'm kind of in and out of this thing. But I just saw them at the Brighton Music Hall. It was a great show. And so I'm here with Todd, and I'm going to bring him up in about 7 minutes, roughly, right? I'm going to play a couple songs that I told people would be playing. But once again, WMFO in Medford. This is Now Rising with Sky Bar. This is new stuff by Justine and the Unclean.
I hear the humming of the bees on a warm summer day, but they've taken down the trees and they've taken you away from me. Thank you.
true. Have I done enough or just made empty sounds? What to do? By now I should have something that I can show. Cards are true, and our hands can't tell us what we need to know. I think I asked her something at the end of the night. Did you answer? Did you answer?
I describe it for people is my dad shot himself and the bullet hit everyone in his life. It was a week before my 30th birthday and I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't because I thought I could call him later that week.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
That was the Downhalls. Downhalls was a song called Don't Care. Downhalls have a new EP coming out. They're going to be playing the Lizard Lounge. I think that's the 19th. I'll have a lot more information on that as things happen with it, but I'll soon be pushing that. Before that, The Morning Line, brand new stuff called End of the Night. And again, brand new Justine and the Unclean, The Chasm. I'm here with Todd from Shake the Faith and Holy Smoke. And I got, before we get going, I got to say that it truly is a privilege for me to have you on here, because there's a, I'm going ways back now, we're 35 years back or so. In the mid 80s, I would go see bands like The Neighborhoods and The Outlets.
Yes,
and
we would.
Unattached and You Guys. And so it was kind of a, you know, it's the reason that I got into local music, and it's a large reason why I still do it now. So just thanks so much for coming on. And you really, your music inspires a lot of people. You probably know that already, though.
It's hard to really realize that, but thank you. And feelings mutual. Really honored, privileged to be here. You put on a great show. And my question was going to be, you've been doing this a long time.
The show, only like 12 years.
Only.
But 12 years or so. I've had a lot of people come through. So, yeah. I've been doing it for a while. I just love it because I don't know where this music can be heard anymore now. The commercial is pretty much dead. And we were talking off here, places, periodicals, like when we were young, I used to listen to the Phoenix.
Right.
And you'd troll through the Phoenix and see what was going on that weekend, and that's where your favorite bands were playing.
Right.
There's no Phoenix anymore, and there's so it must be harder to get, on your end, it must be harder to get music, not out there, because there's a lot of ways to get music out there now.
Right.
You can't go to commercial radio stations, but you can go to stations like ours, and everyone's streaming things. So there's ways to get it out there, but I guess the thing is, how do you get it to people so that they can hear it?
It's you, Skybar.
the college
you,
people.
You know, it's you and your commitment to doing this that keep it alive, that keep local music alive in people's hearts and minds, keep it front and center. There's a lot of people our age from our era of, you want to call it rock and roll or whatever, that are still grinding away. You play them all just now in your set. And we're fans of them, and I think there's a movement afoot with a younger crowd now that's really wanting to pick up guitars and pick up drumsticks and, you know, plug in real instruments and get out of their bedrooms, put the headphones down, and go play some rock and roll shows and break some shit.
Yeah, we gotta be careful.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, that's good.
So, I think that's... I think that that's why I'm honored to be here and have a chance to share music with you and have a great chat with a human being that I love and respect.
Oh, thanks so much. That is gushing praise for little old me. I'm just the middleman. You guys make the music, but...
I disagree. We make the music because you show up and play it.
And go to the shows.
And go to the shows. And that's... honest to God truth, that's what keeps that's what keeps me going. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but
right.
That's what got me to move to Boston. I mean, if you really want to go back to, you know, what makes it all happen, you know, a young guy from middle of nowhere, a little backwoods town called South Berwick, Maine, you know, falls off the potato truck in Boston. And runs into, you know, two pretty heavy cats in Casey Lindstrom and Jesse Mayer. And, you know, call it, you know, good luck, good fortune, you know, good timing or whatever. It was my dream. You know, I put that in motion, and guys like David Minahan and Casey and you know, the Neighborhoods and the New Models and Face to Face and, you know, Till Tuesday and these groups that were just, you know, phenomenal and just blowing up radio and owning college radio and then getting played on commercial radio. And they were inspiring. They were, you know, what I wanted to do. So, you know, when you're given the opportunity and you only live, you know, a 2-hour drive from some place as happening as Boston is, that was the pretty logical decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, it turned out well. Really thankfully, amazingly, you know, Casey and Jesse and I have both battled cancers, I think we were talking off air, and you know that. And we get the chance to play every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, people like guests we kind of laugh. We're like, oh, I guess if you want us to show up and play, you know.
Yeah, I was at the reunion show, yeah, down at the Magic Room.
Magic Room.
Yeah.
So, you know, that part of the journey's, you know, it's still a band. I mean, we still are friends, and we still love doing what we do, and when the chance arises and people will have us and it makes sense and everybody can do it, you know, we'll show up and break some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Who come up with the name Shake the Faith? And how did you just meet Casey and how did you meet them?
So really interesting that you bring it up. So I'm in a band in New Hampshire, Maine called Still Missing, very poignantly and prophetically named Still Missing, and we were really opening for all of those guys. We were, you know, doing the local college thing up there. So Bates and Colby and Bowden and UNH, and you know, we'd get all these opening slots. So we were getting to meet them, and I was working my best to make this dream happen. And I was hauling gear a lot and being a sound, you know, tech and a roadie and just anything to get
ground floor.
Just grind my way in. And so I got friendly with New Models Road Crew. And their sound man at the time, a guy by the name of Archie, helped me produce a demo. I was trying to get it to Casey to see if he'd produce a demo for that band. Ended up having chats with Steve Thurber about that. That didn't come together. But what happened was... Steve and Paul Perry from Rick Berlin, the movie, and Luna, and that era of Rick Berlin's bands, ended up producing the demo for my other band, which put me in a very close trajectory to all of those people, to Jesse and Casey, and we recorded it at Normandy Sound down in Rhode Island, where a lot of bands, the neighborhoods, and people like that were working.
Yeah.
So one thing led to another, and the demo that we recorded ended up in Casey's hands somehow through his road crew. And one thing, you know, and phone calls. There was pre-email, pre-cell phone.
Yeah, right.
So we were leaving messages for each other, and we ended up, you know, connecting. Mm. I was living in my car at the time, and you know, working at Strawberries in Kenmore Square, I think. And you know,
in the music scene,
and just doing what you do. Store, yeah. And so these guys, Jesse was in Finger Paint at the time, and a mutual friend, Jan Montecalvo, who was a DJ at the Channel at the time and booked the local shows there. She knew that Jesse was looking for a roommate. I ended up, you know, solving my temporary homelessness issue by moving in with Jesse Mayer.
Right.
And I'm starting to work out Casey's demo songs with Casey Lindstrom, and Finger Paint breaks up. And so the natural, organic, you know, stars, the aligning kind of forces that happen, and you know, in these kinds of moments, Jesse and Casey and I end up together and have a great run for, you know, whatever that was, three or four years.
Yeah.
Couple of records, a lot of good times, and you know, really, really great kinship. And like I said, we're still friends, and I still call it a band, and really blessed to have, you know, fans that appreciate it and want to have chats about it and email me and message me on Facebook all the time. And
yeah, there's still, like, bizarre, there's still an interest, though.
And some newer, younger fans. I mean, there were young people at the reunion show. They've liked the page on Facebook. I get inbox messages every once in a while. And, you know, a couple of young guitar players appreciate, you know, Casey's guitar work. And
oh, yeah.
And, you know, who wouldn't?
Right. Well, I think it's encouraging. I think some younger people are playing rock again.
I agree.
And it was kind of going away, I think, for a while. But I see a lot of young people back into the scene. And they do appreciate, like I referenced, I played the Nervous Eaters earlier. Mm-hmm. That's a great release, Monsters and Angels,
amazing,
that they put out.
Great
but I've
record.
Been to a few of those shows, and yeah, there is a younger element there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, how could you not appreciate, I mean, great guitar playing, great songs. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or 70, you're going to appreciate that.
Right.
One would hope.
It's the hope. it's what keeps me ticking. Keeps me showing up, taking a few swings.
Yeah, but that was a fantastic scene in the mid-80s.
Yeah,
right?
We're blessed. Very, very fortunate.
You were in the 87 Rumble. There were some great bands in that lineup, too.
Right.
Another band I used to go see a lot was Unattached. I don't know what
Love
happened
them.
To those guys.
Yeah,
but,
great, great band. Good guys.
Jamie Seaver.
Jamie,
Yeah. They've kind of, I don't think they're active anymore, but yeah, there were some great bands in that.
Exciting times.
Year. I'm going to play Already Gone, one of the...
Love it.
One of the Shake the Faith tunes, and we'll come back and chat a bit more about some other stuff. Here's Already Gone. Already Gone by Shake the Faith. That one's a ripper, huh?
That would qualify. I think so. I think that's a good word. And I just want to give a shout out to my man Casey Lindstrom, because I'll tell you what, the pleasure of writing and recording songs with that guy at that caliber, he is one MF-er of a band leader, a songwriter, and criminally underrated guitarist.
Yeah,
one of the best. And you know, my big dream for him was that you know, we'd get that big record and the world could appreciate him, because I listen to that stuff now, and the stuff that came out on the second record on Revival is just beautiful guitar playing, you know, top caliber. And you know, it raised the bar for all of us. It brought Jesse and I to a much more, I'd say, you know, professional and disciplined level of performance in recording, and it helped shape me to you know who I am now. So thank you, Casey. Love you, man.
Did Casey do all the writing and for the band?
Yeah. So the amazing thing was when I met him and we got together. And to answer your question about the name, that we just fell on the name, right?
It was a great name.
You know, we're kicking around ideas. I think we were hanging out in the South End one night at Casey's girlfriend's apartment or something. We love the Cult, and so we love the imagery of that kind of stuff and the kind of anti-religion of punk music and anti-Catholicism and just non-conformance, right? And so, shaking the faith or having your faith shaken or being, and just the word shake, we had been kicking around. And it just fell into place. It was just, bouncing ideas around. I think, as legend has it, I may have spit it out, but it was a no-brainer. It was just, that's a great name. Let's just run with it.
Yeah.
Easy,
Yeah, it's a fantastic
name. And it's three syllables, so... Every one of our dumb fans with their headbands on their heads, shake the faith.
Yeah,
So
I saw Shake the Faith twice in one day. Once it was when they had the lunchtime cruises.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Went to the lunchtime cruise and you played that night at the Rat. I think
yeah.
I was with my
You're
girlfriend,
a hero.
And my wife. At
What's
the,
wrong with no, you, Sky?
Yeah, I saw you twice in one.
Now,
yeah.
Now we know what happened.
Did you have a black dog? This is very random. Did you have a black dog when you were younger?
I did not have a black dog. I had a golden retriever. I had a kind of a corgi. What was she like? A corgi, a sheepdog kind of thing. When I was really, really, really little,
it was at a club. It wasn't back at a club. You guys were done. I don't know why.
I had a big
back
dog
there, but there was a dog.
Oh yeah, Zeus used to come to gigs with me.
I mean, this was 30 plus years ago, so maybe I got the color wrong. But I remember you were out back with a dog.
Thank you. That's definitely true, Skybar. That is absolutely true.
Good why I remember that, I have no idea.
Zeus made it into a photo session.
Oh, really?
Of ours. And yeah, there's some pretty wonderful pictures behind the Rat with
that's
Zeus.
Cool.
He was rode in the truck with me, saved my life a couple times, got me out of some trouble. Got me home from parties when I shouldn't have been staying as late as I was, And
Zeus was the guy.
He was the man.
Wow. So Shake the Faith eventually wound down, and you kind of
put
to bed for a while.
Yeah, I drifted. I'll be honest with you. What happened was I was so in love with that band that when it just needed a break, basically.
Yeah.
I won't speak for Jesse, but he'll tell you the same story. He had some demons that we all struggled with and have, and that kind of took over and became more important than maybe music was at the time, right?
Right.
Is probably the best way to put that. And Casey and I really looked around for other drummers, and there's just no Jesse Mayer, right?
Yeah.
It really changed the whole attitude of the band, the whole approach and everything. And I was struggling too. I mean, I had my own things that I was dealing with. And Casey and I just said, well, it's just not Shake the Faith.
Yeah, sometimes it's just time.
It just isn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I took a break and reconnected with my now current wife, who's sitting in the behind you,
yeah,
Lisa.
Brought the whole crew.
And that, part of my life became really important, family and putting that together. And so moved out to kind of central Massachusetts. We lived in Groton for a long time and put together another band that is the crux of a lot of the songs that I'm producing and releasing now. It inspired the demos that became Holy Smoke. There was a brief time that a band called Free Rider did play around. We were kind of in that whole and this ties to Jay Potts. It was kind of that whole Cobalt 60 era, grunge had happened.
Yeah.
So Sam Black Church and Cobalt 60 had both won the Rumble, I think, back to back years. Jay Potts, I think, holds the distinguished crown of the only drummer to win the Rumble twice or something like that. Anyway, so it was a grunge infected kind of groovier, heavy rock, very, very Shake the Faith inspired for sure. Brilliant guitar player, great drummer, but you know, just not the momentum, just not the. It was very hard to carve my way back in. A lot of the people had changed. The clubs were already changing. Booking strategies had changed. The nights that you could get your band, you know, debuted had changed. Radio was already changing. CDs had come in and you know, topsy-turvied the label industry. So getting demos to labels was a completely different, you know, project or prospect at that point. It was just a different world, and so we decided to raise kids and have a family and
be sensible.
We're both from Maine. We live there now. We live outside of Portland, and we Lisa and I moved back to Maine, and you know, that's hunkered down, raised kids, and I've never stopped writing. I've always had, you know, that
itch.
You know, itch, and that exactly what it is. It just never goes away. Gigs would pop up now and then. The 2011, so 99 Shake the Faith reunion, when Brooks Whalen, our label head, decided to put out the CD Revival.
Yeah,
those songs sat for 10 years and then came out in 99. Played then a couple of shows in between, and then the 2011 reunion we did at the Magic Room when it was in Brighton. Mm-hmm. And that led to a couple of, you know, gigs here in between, benefit for the Ernie Bach Foundation, Music Drives Us at the Paradise, and then we did the Pipeline reunion show.
NBR,
that was like
NBR
40 year, you know, 40 years of the Pipeline, which was just crazy. That was a wild, wild show.
I think I was at that. I think I did go.
Fantastic,
that
fantastic show. Like, what a reunion of souls that was.
Where was that?
Paradise, or
Paradise.
Our show. I think we played the last night of it. Like, it had been going on for like 10 days or something. Wild.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, so again, you know, Shake the Faith never really calling it quits.
Yeah.
You know, like the band that wouldn't go away kind of thing. And then, you know, the itch to write and produce and record really needed to be scratched. And holy smoke happened when mutual friends of my guitarist, John Edwards, and I, we're really challenged by a friend of ours up in Portland to open up for his band.
Oh.
So he's a guy who has a Queen tribute act called Masterstroke.
Yeah.
And his Masterstroke was putting us on in front of his original band, John Hughes Radio, who we're playing with this Sunday at the benefit show we're doing for the Maine Lobstermen's Association.
Yeah.
All ties back together.
Right.
So John Hughes Radio... and Jesse Mayer's band, Diablo Gatto, played a show in 2016 with Holy Smoke as the opener, and it never stopped since then. So the guitar player and I, guitarist and I have just stayed together, and multiple drummers and multiple, you know, attempts at getting things off the ground, and now we're a band and a lineup and have, you know, good recorded material, recorded catalog at this point, thanks to COVID.
Right. Yeah. We discussed that.
Yeah.
COVID had its pluses and minuses. Obviously, a lot of minuses. But musically, you couldn't play anywhere. But you could write a lot.
That's what happened.
Right.
Yeah. And with the political world on fire and COVID, and I got cancer in 2021, and that was a big, you know, fuel for a lot of emotions and a lot of inspiration.
Yeah.
And then you know, again, famously, you know, Jay Potts blows back into my life in late 2021, right before the Shake the Faith reunion. He was there with us that night.
Yeah.
And he was just shot out of a cannon, and he brought some type of catalyst or some type of energy that evidently I needed, you know, to crystallize what I'd been working on and really I finished what I started, right? And so I just got this bee in, you know, whatever, the bee in the bonnet kind of, you know, somebody, he lit the fire,
right?
He really
right.
turned up the heat and said, come on, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
He was challenged us and pushed us. And so
it was what you needed.
It was what we needed. So the string of singles we have coming out this summer and into the fall are all with Jay Potts playing drums. And, you know, maybe we can get to one of those, but
I'm gonna play a couple of Holy Smoke. I'm gonna play your cover's tune, as well as we're going to play Tuned In.
Great.
So I'm going to play a couple, and then we'll come back and talk about those songs and a little something about Tuned In that I noticed, but here we go.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what are you doing? Put on that station that rocks. Yeah. that station go. Reminds me back of the day. You were so funny, man, with your little radio. Walking around with your antenna up, waiting for your favorite song.
There you have it, Holy Smoke, with Tuned In, Antenna Up, and Bye Bye Love. You want to talk a little bit about those two?
I would be thrilled if you'll let me. Shut me up if I'm saying too much.
Yeah, no, I'll let you know if the clock's ticking. We're good right now.
Yeah. So great, great story, how Tuned In comes to happen, and then ends up out in L.A. being mixed by one of my favorite mixer engineers on the planet. Again, you talk about catalysts, and you talk about the stars aligning and things like that. I'm up in Maine having fun in a cover band called The Substitutes. And The Substitutes are doing, you know, 60s, 70s classic rock. And I had put down the bass, and I'm just singing in that band. And I get an inbound email from a guy in Australia who says, introduces himself, real business-like. I'm so-and-so from, you know, from near Queensland, Australia, and I need a band to write a song with, you know, blah, 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 here's my story. I'm like, okay, whatever. So it feels scammy to me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. What's your plan? I emailed them back, and like an hour later, instant reply. Oh, great. Thanks for getting back to me. You know, here's my idea. He sketched out, sent me lyrics, had, you know, ideas all sketched out. And I was like, whoa, wait, let's talk this through. And I did everything I could to kind of talk this guy down, like from hiring me to write a song with him. And he just wouldn't give up. So we ended up partnering up on a song for him and his lyrics. But the chore, the work of writing a song for somebody else ended up inspiring Tuned In. I'd had the guitar chords kind of hanging around. I'd had this little idea in my mind about listening to the radio, and like you and I were talking off air about this thing that happens when we used to turn on AM or FM radio. Mine was in the car. I could get away with it in the car.
And I did.
Just hijack it from my parents and listen to stuff. And so the song got finished when. After we famously played that one show in 2016, the guitar player and I, John Edwards and I, took this challenge from this songwriting job seriously.
Yeah.
And I got together with a drummer friend of mine, John Noonan, who provided the drums for that track. And I just holed up and just ground it out and said, let's go, let's finish this thing. And again, bizarre coincidences of life. Friend of a friend refers me to this guy who manages big mixing engineers and, you know, handles those kind of label, you know, super characters that are, you know, I call them the unobtainium, you know, the Illuminati of the audio engineering world. And the song ends up on Chris Lord Alge's inbox, who agrees to mix it. You know, and Chris is one of my heroes in the mixing and producing world. He's produced most or engineered most of the bands I kind of tipped the hat to in that song. Springsteen being one.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
The Stones, so on and so on. So that was just a personal sort of bucket list moment. And that's all it was for me. I just really thought, okay, great. I've got this fun song. I got the song that, you know, one of my heroes gets to mix, and we'll put it out. And no sooner do we put it out, you know, COVID clamps down any hope of like the band doing anything.
Yeah, that screeches it right there.
It did. And then that led to, like we said earlier about just holding up and writing and finishing stuff. And so Holy Smoke ends up. Jay Potts blows in our scene, and Jay passes away, tragically last year, which led to our new drummer, Luke Bergeron, walking in the door. And Luke just put a hurtin' on Bye Bye Love. I said, hey, I've got these couple of things done. Do you want to take a look at, take a listen? And he said, oh my God, Bye Bye Love's one of my favorite songs. The cars are amazing. We had this huge, meeting of the minds over Roy Thomas Baker's production and the Cars and the Queen and everything, like, you know, those records. And Luke just crushed the drum track into submission and made that song, you know, what it is. And again, it inspired me to finish it. And so Skybar, I'm just a messenger, just a passenger on a really cool train ride right now. So
yeah, no, it's all worked out for you. See, the time's moving here, so we're probably not going to get to play Keep On Keeping On, just because I gotta get a song or two in that I, as we discussed, I have stuff coming in, and I
got to do what you're going to do, and you let me talk too much.
No, it's great. You were great. You were fine, fantastic, and I said it was a thrill to have you in here, as I said earlier, because of what your music's meant to me, and thanks for all the swag. I'll be bringing my wife will get a kick out of it, Trisha. I'll be bringing some of it home. She'll get a kick out of what I got. But
please share.
Yeah,
there's plenty to go around.
Yeah,
we love
but,
it.
But
thank you.
Anything else you want to?
No,
say
just thank you. Thank you for doing this and being here and being such a support. It is a huge inspiration. I think you do know that. I think you know some of our friends in kind would share that same sentiment. And thanks everybody for the encouragement over the last few years. It's been a good ride, and we look forward to seeing everybody at shows this summer. Holy smokes, finally got some shows on the books.
Yeah.
This Sunday we're doing a benefit up in Maine for the Maine Lobstermen's Association. That's on our Facebook page. All our stuff's on either Bands in Town or Facebook, or our website is holysmokeofficial.com.
And is one more thing. Is Holy Smoke going to put anything, are you going to do like any sort of so-called full length, or is a single's going to morph into an EP or something like that?
I think so. I mean, everybody is encouraging us to get the product together, and then, you know, CD, vinyl, some kind of physical album probably at the end of the year. This would be the goal.
Great.
And we've got, like I said, we've got a cache of five singles that Jay Potts played drums on that I'm finishing and mixing now.
Sweet.
So we'll get those out, you know, in the next 5-6 months, steady flow of Holy Smoke new material, and new stuff that we've written with new drummer Luke and our fantastic keyboard player John Songdahl. So I'm just blown away by the support and all the encouragement. So thank you.
You deserve it. All right. I'm going to let you get out of here. I'm going to have to play some stuff that I said I was going to play. This is by a band called The Muzzins in the remaining 6 minutes or so. But WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. These are The Muzzins. New stuff by The Muzzins.
Did you really think you could kiss me? you really, really think you could kiss me? Did you miss me? Did you miss me last night?
All right, that was the Muzzins with Did You Miss Me? It's 858 WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. Thanks for listening. I'm going to get out of here with a quick one by the, as I speed through this, quick one by the Chelsea Curve. See you next week.